everybody, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This is number 101 on November 24th, 2004. And we're recording as I speak right here at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. Our host for the show, same as always, everybody, Don Shaw.
Well, Mr. Tom, Thanksgiving Eve today, if there is such a thing.
Gobble, gobble.
Yeah.
Good to have you with us, buddy. And Don Patterson?
Yes, sir. Same as always. Just like old Don over there.
Yeah, been here since the beginning. Good to have you along. I'm Tom Houston. But here he is, the guy that created and produces this little thing we do every week. The Blind Handyman Show. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Park.
You know, all that Houston stuff was fun. But I got it. Sure is good to be home back in our back at our old old haunts here. Our old have our regular chairs. Here and a regular table and Tom Fussell's here with us somewhere. And
well, it's kind of like Don said. It seems like it's been forever since we've done one right here.
It does. It really does.
Well, when you think about it, the last one we did here was on the was in October.
Yeah, that's
boy, I guess it
sure was right at the end of October, because then we did Houston and then we missed a week and now here we are here. So I guess it was like the, you know, the 29th of October or something.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Well, I was telling him, if H.H. Parr were alive, my father, he would be 100 years old today. He's born November 4th, 1904.
My goodness.
Whoa.
So that's old. And if I was married to my first wife, I'd be married 42 years. Oh.
Well, I thought he was going to say if he was married to his first wife. Now that's old.
Yeah, no kidding. That's what I. Yeah,
thank God for unanswered prayers. Anyway, it's good to be back, and it's good to have everybody with us. And we—if you missed Houston, well, you missed a nice thing there. All talking about us doing it again next year. So I guess we will do it in some form next year. We had a lot of fun, and the show's turned out good. We have copies to mail today. We need to do that when we get through. Mail all the copies. Got plenty of lots of pictures. Anyway, it's over and it's done, and I'm glad. What was that?
Do you have to ask?
Anyway, we're all back, and everything seems to be going well. It's a cold day in Lufkin, Texas. 49 degrees last time I looked.
Yeah.
So it was 51 when I got up this morning. It's 49.
And windy.
We are about 30 inches ahead on rainfall. We only get about 33 inches of rain a year, and we've gotten 60-something this year. So that just shows you. A little water in the North Street, huh? Just
you know,
yeah, Swamp City.
And it's really been, you know, you think that's a lot of rain, but I sure hope it doesn't try to even things out and get no rain. You know, I think you can deal with too much rain. In the long run, better than you can with no rain. So,
Either way, it's...
The first year, what year did you move up here, Donald Shaw? 60, 96, 90?
We moved up here in 96.
Yeah, and I came in 97.
And that year was just... 96 was just... We thought it never rained in Lufkin. I did. I wasn't from East Texas. And I said, man, it never rains up here.
Don called me sometime in June and said, Bill, it just never rains up here, does it? you just wait. It's just...
Yeah, it's, no kidding.
Takes
man.
Off. You get water in your house, Pat?
Oh gosh, no!
No, never
no,
will.
Sir. No, I haven't. Our little street, you know, flooded in little ways, and we could have gotten out old Union. There was water covering half of it. There was one lane open, but the little goat trails that run in behind me at Zed Creek and all that. If old Union ever goes down, we're trapped. Because we can't get out.
There's no other way out, is there?
There's no other way. Emily's daughter was going to come over yesterday down that Zed Creek just to see, and she got to a point, and the water was up to the mailboxes.
Oh, wow.
You mean the way that you'd go if you came from my house and went down Gobbler's Knob, the way we go?
Turn off Gobbler's Knob, and you make that little jag to the left, and then turn back, and go down about 100 yards, and there's a big dip. And they're right there, like you say, she said she could have... buried her Suburban.
There's a couple of places on Morris Road out where I live that get pretty bad like that when it's really raining and it comes down a lot in a short period of time.
Well, we had I think three and seventy hundredths of an inch before 6 o'clock and another couple inches after six yesterday afternoon. Got water up on the back porch, pretty high, about 3 inches of water on the back porch. We got the drains unstopped and it went away. just like it did when Bennett was here. Remember that?
Yeah.
John Bennett was sitting out there smoking.
And that was really close to getting in the house. That
time, we're fixing to have a problem. I think there's water fixing to come. Yeah, John, no kidding.
It's nothing excites him, does it?
Over your ankles, you know. I wonder how the big boy is. We need to call him.
We need to call him, yeah.
I guess we really do. We need to call him and see if he'll come. Last time I called, he said he wouldn't come to the phone, you know. Busy eating.
Well, let's send him a letter then.
I guess we could. Anyway, the boy is out of the hospital, I think, out of danger and doing fine. I don't know. I haven't gotten a medical update. Jimmy Mann hadn't called me in a while, but I guess if there's anything wrong, Conley would have let me know, wouldn't he?
Yeah, you would think so.
All right, Thomas.
Okay, it says, hi, List. I recently bought this house. Now, this house is about 40 years old. The person who owned it died about a year ago. Now, the gutter system seems to have been neglected, and the downspout on the southeast corner of the house was clogged mightily. About 18 inches at the bottom and 6 inches at the top of the downspout was clogged. I purchased the drain flush, which attaches to your water hose. I could not get the downspout flushed without disconnecting the downspout from the house and flushing and shaking and repeating this many times. Well, to make a long story short, I did manage to unclog the downspout. However, now I can't get the metal straps back around the downspout so that I can get the screw back in. Now, this screw needs to go into a hole at either end of the metal strap and also into a hole in the downspout. Now, I can't get the strap pulled tightly enough so the holes line up. What can I do to align the holes? Thanks,
well,
Kevin.
Well, here's what I'd do. I think you've got an answer, but let me answer it first, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. I'd put the screw on one end, okay, and then take a nail, put a nail through the hole in the other end, and pull it around so that you can tie it to the... There's a screw that goes in the middle that goes through the gutter, right?
Yeah.
So you could hold tension on it with this... You know what I'm talking about? You understand?
Yeah.
Put a nail through there, or an awl or something through there. Pull it around, put the screw in the gutter, and bingo. Then you're home free.
I think... Well, I'd take a shot at it, too. Just from the description, what I would do is put the screw in that goes in the gutter first.
Wouldn't be bad.
And then you have each end to go, I assume,
yeah,
to the side of your
end.
House.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be maybe what the problem.
Yeah, and push it up close to the house, and if you don't meet the screws that are already there, make new holes in the wood. It's not going to hurt anything. It's just a gutter. There's no pressure on it or anything. And, I mean, if you've tied it back in with your little, surely there's a little, where it fits together, the two gutters fit together, there should be a little sheet metal screw or something.
And now for the correct answer.
Now for the real
answer.
Really knows what he's talking about.
This is kind of similar anyway. Bryce writes and says, first of all, I'd insert the sheet metal screw into the strap and the downspout. Then I'd take an ice pick or something similar and insert it into the strap and line up the hole. Once lined up, hold the strap firmly to the wall. Pull the ice pick out and insert the screw and get it started by hand.
So he had the same thing.
Same deal.
If it seems as if it's going to be an impossible task, I'd just fill the hole with silicone and drill some
new
holes.
That's it.
I wouldn't worry about filling a hole with silicone.
We were all on the same track.
We're all on the same page.
You know, if you got a wood screw, it'll suck it. It'll pull itself right on up into the wood. If it's got a little sharp tip on it, it'll just, you know, just put some...
He said it would make it easier if you could get some sighted assistance.
No.
And he said he went through it last year and used his wife when he needed. Good luck. And that's from Bryce.
Well, I don't know how she... Right. What would she do? Stand there and go, you're just tearing this house up.
Probably.
I mean, that's about all they're good for, isn't it?
Well, you don't have it yet.
Do you have to do that?
Do we really need this? Well, you know. But then I've got a wife, too. But that's our friend Kevin Doucet. Did you realize that? Y'all know that?
Yeah, that's what Don was telling us.
It's good to have it boy back.
Yeah,
on,
good to have him back on the list.
Answered or the one that had the problem?
No, the one that had the problem.
Yeah,
he just bought a house.
I'm proud of him.
For Kevin.
Yeah, I'm proud of him. We're coming, Kevin. Hey. How much room you got?
In Ohio. Yeah. I wonder if he moved from Alabama. I wonder if he's still in Alabama.
He moved to some other town in Alabama, I think. And remember he had a route. He was running. I think that folded up. I think he divorced his wife, and we've all
made a life change there.
Big old life change, I think.
Yeah,
I think. But we're glad to have you back, sir. And don't make yourself a stranger.
All righty, here we go. We guy says, "Hi, folks. How safe is it for a blind person to light up a wood burning fireplace? I never had a house with a fireplace before, Now my new house has a wood-burning fireplace, and I would like to begin using it.
Yeah.
I bought a chimney services company who cleaned the chimney and assured me that it is in very good working condition, ready to use. Secondly, how does one start a fire? Do I need to buy a special kind of wood, a starter to generate enough heat for the logs to catch fire? Someone once told me that I can use a newspaper sheet as a starter, but other people discouraged me from doing that.
Nah.
As always, I appreciate any suggestions. Cheers, Abraham.
Well, I wanted, after the guest, we were going to talk a good bit about fireplaces and how to start fires, because there's been a lot of discussion on the list about them.
There sure has.
I thought everybody knew.
Good day to talk about that.
So, yeah, it is a good day. What else? You got something else? You got anything else?
No, that's it.
Is that it?
That's it.
Really?
End of the line for that.
You folks need to remember that we have an hour to kill here.
Don't force us to start writing our emails ourselves.
Our guest today will help us.
Wear my tap shoes now.
There's plenty of email. The list has actually been very active.
The list
lately.
Has been active here lately. It really
it's,
has.
It's been very active, and it's a good list to be on, and it just amazes me. I talked to this guy named Victor from Canada, who I think is going to help us out and do some blindsides. For me. I thought I had a guy to do it, but he's kind of backed out on me. But I think he's going to help us out and do something. We can use all we can get. And I said something about we're going to do blind handyman today, and before we're going to go across the river for him. He said, "Oh, Tom's going to take you, huh?"
There's a loyal listener that knows all these things.
All the guys, you know. And then I got email the other day from the first lady I did. What was her name? The girl that's taking. Flying lessons. Her last name is...
Oh, yeah.
I got an email from her. She wants to come the first of the year. She's going to be in Texas. So she wants to come and watch us do a blind handyman show.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that'd be neat.
I told her it wasn't spectator sport, but we'd love to have her. You know?
Yeah.
We would probably even provide her a microphone.
Well, you know, but with all these... there's a lot of testosterone in here, as you can tell, aging.
I mean, we would probably clean up a little bit.
You think we would?
Yeah. Stuff, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, you got...
Shave,
you know,
and stuff.
Don and I are over 60, and Tom's knocking on the door. And so I'd say you'd be pretty safe.
Very safe.
Yeah, what a deal.
What is her name? Her name is not Karen. I never can think of her name. Courtney Smith.
Courtney, yeah.
Courtney Smith wants to come and watch us. I need to email her back and tell her it's fine. We'd love to have her. She can be a guest that day and talk about her flying lessons. So,
yeah, that'd be neat.
So everything's going good in the world of the blind handyman. Why don't we take a break and run Clifford a little long, Tommy?
Okay.
Sounds good.
Take a little break, and we'll go ahead and call Clifford
Wilson.
Clifford Wilson is our guest, and we learned about him from, I think Susie told us about him. But Clifford's an attorney, and a judge in this little town where he lives, and ought to be a pretty interesting guest. We'll be back with Clifford Wilson as our guest on the Blind Handyman Show in just a minute. Hang on.
I've lived up here in the cold country, Rochester, Minnesota. I'd love to move.
Love
to
is Blind,
but, you know,
the audio magazine,
you know,
for singles.
Anyway, I'm around 32 years old, give or take a couple of years, and never been married. Oh, come close once or twice, but things just didn't work out.
If you'd like more information about this exciting new magazine, phone toll free 1-877-222-0679. That's 1-877-222-0679. Or you can receive the same information as an email. Our address is loveisblind, all one word, at blindlikeme.com. That's loveisblind at blindlikeme.com. Blind Handyman, all lowercase, one word, at hotmail.com. That's blindhandyman at hotmail.com. Contact information. Blind like me, lowercase, all one word, at txucom.net. That's blind like me at txucom.net. Contact information. Blind Handyman listserv. Blind Handyman-subscribe.
subscribe at yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Contact information.
blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Blind like me at txucom.net. blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. Email us often and give us your opinion. If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your
contact information.
Tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
We are back, and we are going to be talking with our guest here for a while today. Our guest today is Clifford Wilson. Hello, Cliff. How's everything with you today?
Oh, just fine. Glad to get a day behind me in the salt mine, so...
It must have been a rough day. You forgot about all these blind handyman guys, didn't you? You were probably mixing you a drink.
And, well, unfortunately, I was doing one of those house husband things. I was taking out the garbage and burning the trash.
Well, I'm glad to know they do that in Tennessee, too. That's good.
You were probably told to do it this morning, right? And didn't
well,
get around
actually,
to
no.
It.
We had a right hefty thunderstorm going here this morning, and it wasn't exactly suitable weather for... burning trash.
Yes, sir. You must have gotten that one we had
last
night.
That must have been what we had. Well, the reason we had to cancel yesterday was because of our thunderstorm. It must have been the same one. I bet it was.
I think it was the same front coming through. They're promising, I think, a few more straggling thunderstorms this evening, but right now we're in good shape here.
Kind of in the eye of the storm right now.
I suppose so.
If you don't mind us asking, sir, what age are you?
I'm 61 years of age.
So you're creeping. You're about to, like the rest of us. Don is 62, and Tom is knocking on 60, and I'm in my late, very late 50s.
BS.
Actually,
that sounds like a BS.
I'm 64, actually.
You fellas go to the Texas School for the Blind?
We, three of us did. Tom Houston, who drives for us, he didn't, but the three of us went to the Texas School for the Blind.
Any of you wrestle?
Yeah, Don, you did, Don, didn't you?
Yeah, way back in the 50s. And, of course, I left in 57.
Okay, that would have...
And we had some tournaments. Your school came one time the last year I was there. We used to wrestle with New Mexico.
Right, and that year we came to El Mogordo for the tournament.
Right, we were there. I was like 112, 120 pounds. I don't think I made it to the qualifying round.
I would have been probably 127 at that time.
Okay.
33, something like that.
Right.
I was all skin and bones and ugly as all get out.
Yeah.
Well, I made my weight. I was 120, but I was supposed to be in the 112-pound class. So I didn't. I was a little overweight and didn't do very well.
But so you wrestled. Did you do pretty well with that?
Only because I worked harder than the rest of them would. I was not what you'd call a natural athlete.
Uh-huh.
At the beginning of the match, the other fellow nearly always was a better wrestler than I was.
Uh-huh.
But coming at the end of the 6 minutes, and I was usually the better wrestler because I was still going strong.
You had the stickability. You could hang on.
Well, that's the only way I could accomplish anything is just work harder.
And that was from the Tennessee School for the Blind.
Right.
Yeah, that was the first year. Did y'all not come to that year for a track meet following that tournament? That was in about February. that turn. I remember how cold it was out there in New Mexico.
I don't believe if they did, I wasn't long for that one.
Okay.
Yeah. I was on the track team in high school, but that was actually before I got in high school.
Right.
I was still junior high at that point.
Well, I was in, I was like, 56, 7, I guess 8th grade, 9th grade, something like that.
I graduated in 62, so that's...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was in 1960 I graduated, but I had gone to public, you know, they started the VI teaching program, So
you did 12 years at that school for the blind there in Tennessee.
And got a darn good education, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I had the three brothers and a sister in the public school system, and very frankly, I got a better education than they did.
I always thought I did at TSB. I thought that the first 9 years, the public schools didn't equal it.
They didn't come close. My book.
We were a little short on science. In other words, we didn't like biology. I'm not certain they offered biology. I don't know what they substituted. I guess F.E. Lewis's science class of some sort.
Uh-huh.
But math and in foreign language or any of the other reading or whatever, we equaled them.
Yeah. We had a good agriculture / biology teacher. And, in fact, when I went to Tennessee Tech, which is where I did my undergraduate work, I coasted in biology and made straight hundreds.
Because
I was just repeating what I'd had in high school.
That's what I was going to say, because of what they taught you in high school.
Right. I knew more about genetics than some of the upperclassmen did.
Yeah, I mean,
got in agriculture and biology in high school.
Well, they fuss at me a lot of time for criticizing blind schools. My experience was not good, but that's mostly my fault, you know, and I understand that now. Probably understood it then, but was unwilling to deal with it.
There's a lot of downs, you know. There's a lot of tough love in that. When you send a five-year-old like I was off to Nashville, and he cries for 4 months wanting his mom and daddy, that's pretty tough stuff.
It was. That's what I did. It was pretty hard. I didn't like Abby Young. I don't like her today if she walked in here. I still don't like her. She was a mean old woman, but that's...
Well, thank goodness I had a saint for a house mother that first go-around there at the Nashville, and that saved the day for me.
Well, that stubborn as I am, that took care of me. Once they made me mad, that was it for 12 years. I just stayed angry. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Well, I was one of those problem children myself.
Did you? And you left the school for the blind and went and got yourself a degree in, what was your undergraduate degree in?
As a social science, which was worthless, basically. Folks who have those degrees might argue with you about that, but it's sort of hard to convert those into cash, I'll tell you.
But did you know you were going to go to law school all the time?
That was a free law program. I really wanted to be a physicist. I went up to Tennessee Tech and walked in and talked to the head of the physics department, and he said, "Son, I'm sorry, but you can't be a physicist.
Blind people just can't do that.
You know, your blind folks just can't do that."
Yeah, I mean,
and I didn't know any better than to believe him.
Yeah.
He's trying to tell me I had to run a slide rule, which I could not. Couldn't see it well enough, didn't know what one was, and, you know, it was just a total mystery to me. When he said, "You got to work this slide rule, this gizmo right here," and I could not.
So you decided then that law school is what you probably ought to do.
That was the second option.
Yeah.
They said they couldn't imagine why anybody would want to hire a blind lawyer, but they let me in the door. That was a little bit better offer in the first place, so.
Well, there are lots of blind lawyers. I imagine you're on probably some kind of a list of blind lawyers listserv, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm on ABLA, or it's called AV. They changed the name just recently, and I better watch out. I get in trouble here.
Yeah.
I'm already on their list because I'm a conservative Republican, and that's something that ACB and their affiliates think is quite strange still. I mean, sort of a unique character, so I have to be careful.
Well, we used to have policy here in East Texas. We killed them at birth, but there's too many of them now. In fact,
there wasn't any many suspected Republicans out there in Texas back in the 50s when I was
there. There's only 18 to 20 Democrats in Texas, and I'm one of them. Me and my wife and my granddaughter doesn't have nerve enough to tell us she's not, but anyway, do you do handyman projects? You're building some kind of a shelter or something right now?
Yeah, my friend and I built what we call a pavilion. That sounds real nice.
It does. I like it. Good word. Southern word.
Well, what it means is it's a 30 by 20 covered picnic area where you have a picnic table and it's covered so you can set chairs around, and he's going to have a fireplace in there and a grill.
Uh-huh.
And he's talking about making these poles 12 feet high. And I said, well, why in the world are you going to have your ceiling that high? Looks to me like you're going to have more rain blowing in more and that sort of thing. I said, hey, wait a minute. Why don't you make short walls upstairs, put a steep roof on this thing, and put a sleeping loft up there so you can just put a bunch of folks up there in their sleeping bags and keep them up off of the ground and out of the rattlesnakes and copperheads.
Uh-huh.
So he said, well, shoot, yeah, why don't we just do that? So that's, in fact, what we've done. And you could sleep a small troop of Boy Scouts up there on the top of that thing now.
How do you get to the upper story?
Climb a ladder.
On the outside of the building?
Oh, yes, right on the outside edge. Now, that may change. He's talking about getting one of these pull-down...
staircases?
Yeah, like you see in a lot of homes. Going
Oh, yeah.
Are you still, though, is the floor up there, is it still 12 feet off the ground?
We dropped it down to 8.
Oh, okay.
So that gave us 4, and then he added a little bit. He got all he could get out of his post, so we ended up with about 5 feet.
Upstairs.
High sidewalls upstairs.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So
then you put I think we put a 612 pitch on it.
Right.
And it ended up with all the couple of 3 feet over next to the edge. You got to be careful not whack your head.
Right.
But
your
can...
ridge pole would be pretty close to 20 feet high.
Sure would.
Yeah, it's
18
well, it's,
feet?
No, it's not that high, but...
18 and 5 foot, 13 about at least, it'd have to be at least 16 or 17.
Well, you have to remember. Coming in from both sides. So,
right.
So you're only talking about 10 feet at 6 inches. So
okay.
60 inches. 5 feet plus about 10 feet in the center, something like that.
So, but you can stand up in the center. Up
oh,
there,
yeah.
Right?
Well, there's a flat area. There's even a flat roof. In there. We put a cross member in the middle there to brace it anyway. So that we ended up making trusses for that ceiling upstairs.
And it's all right in this type of weather, but in the summertime you couldn't stand it up there.
It's going to be insulated in part.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. He's going to have half of it basically exposed with nothing but screen and no insulation, but the other half is going to be insulated downstairs and up, so that if you're up there in the bitter cold winter, you could build a fire and keep warm, and in the summertime you could have some protection from the.
Now you build the fire downstairs and the heat would rise up to up
right.
To,
but
up
he's
to,
also talking about the possibility of building a fireplace upstairs as well.
Well, good heavens, you people are getting a little carried away, aren't you? Well, I mean,
he's got plenty of stone and.
well, this, deal.
What makes this place, in all candor, is the location. It's I live in a valley here, about 900 feet above sea level. The mountains to the east of us go up to 5,400 feet, to the west about 2,700.
Uh-huh.
His property is east of us at 2,500 feet. So,
really?
It's high enough that the temperatures are cooler in the summer and are cooler in the winter, too, I might add. But still, it's a good way to get away from some of the heat in the summertime. And he's got two mountain streams running down through the property that you can hear those waterfalls all along. Even in the dry part of the summer, you've still got enough water to... That noise, that'll put you to sleep.
Yeah.
Really nice location.
Is this where he lives? Is this
his home? This is right in the edge of the Cherokee National Forest up there.
Okay.
On the side of a mountain.
So it's kind of a little getaway. I mean, a place that y'all can go and take a bunch of kids or whatever.
Might even take some adults if you get them to go with you.
Well, you could take some adults.
Be careful then, though. So.
They won't like that sleeping bag stuff. And most of us old folks, we want a king-size bed, my God.
I happen to have a king-size. not with you, but I've got a king-size sleeping bag, too.
So. King-size sleeping bag. Now, you've got a fireplace downstairs or a fire pit or...
what I call an insert. He found one of these metal inserts, he's going to build a fireplace around it.
Okay.
He's got the stone right there on the property, so...
So you're going to get a chance to learn something about stonework.
I'm going to leave that up to him.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, you want to learn that? You want to know how to...
I'm afraid I got it. The last time I did masonry work, I didn't have any better sense than to do it with my bare hands.
Yeah.
I found out that cement will give you some chemical burns that you won't forget.
I think
there.
I found the same thing. I had the same problem.
Yeah. So I'm going to leave them. you can't feel the stuff with gloves on, and if you take the gloves off, you hadn't felt of it. So I'm going to leave the masonry to somebody else.
And a sighted person does it with his eyes or her eyes. Yeah. Now you folks built this thing. Did you have benefit of an air compressor and a nail gun? Are you hammering nails or what?
Well, I bought an air compressor, but turns out my generator wouldn't pull it, so we ended up using a 24-ounce framing hammer.
Yeah.
We were using 50-penny nails and bolts, so this thing's built like a bridge.
It is.
We got big 90 brackets, metal brackets, and with bolts, and put her together. It looks massive.
But you had thought that your generator might run the compressor. I mean,
well,
that your compressor might.
The generator's got enough total wattage to work, but where I made a mistake is that each of the 120 outlets on the thing are also limited, and each of them are limited below the starting requirements of that air compressor. I think it kicks up to about 30 amps to start, and I think each one of them are limited to maybe 25 amps, and it just would not do it.
So if she was started, it'd run it.
Right, and if I had some way of combining both outlets together so that I could use both capacities, you know, add the two together, I'd have plenty of amperage to go with it, but I just never have taken the time to try to jerry rig that.
I might. I think you could. I bet you could. I might bridge the cutoff, the breaker, the you know whatever it's got, and just see.
Because no, might even be. I hadn't investigated. I don't know if I can go to 220 or not. I've got a 220 outlet on the thing too, and that would pull it for sure.
Well, sure it would.
But it's 4,500 watt, as I recall. It's got a 9-horse Honda on it.
Whoa.
So that's a pretty healthy generator.
Yeah.
It'll run your... Yeah. I'd say you had enough power there to run your nail guns, but y'all just decided to just take a hammer and build this thing.
I'm surprised. I found out I could drive big nails a lot better than I can these little finish jobs. I always mash fingers when I start trying to drive, you know, 6 and 8 penny finish nails.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But a 50-penny nail, I found out with a 24-ounce hammer, I can do some good.
Well, yeah, because when you're driving those little nails, you're right down there close to your fingers. That's when you need the Brad gun.
And
that's
they bend easier. And
compressor. Well, is this isn't your first attempt at some construction, is it?
Oh, no. My dad was a finished carpenter, so I've been around carpenter work ever since I can remember.
Yeah.
Even if it was just going out to the job where he was working and see what's going on, you know, we'd always want to grab a hammer and drive a nail or do something, you know, as kids, how they do. And once I got old enough to help carry things and do things, my folks were the best in the world when it came to being parents of a blind kid. If I could do it and not get hurt, I had to do it. It wasn't a matter of choice.
Yeah.
I had to hoe corn with the rest of them as long as I cut down more Johnson grass than I did corn.
You learn that way.
But your dad was constructing things, and I'm sure that being an inquisitive kid, that you walked, looked around to see how things are built.
Oh, sure. And then our home burned when I was about 12, and so we had to build a new home, and we did all that ourselves. So, I got a hands-on experience there.
Yeah, to see how rafters are done and see how walls are built. See, I didn't get any of that until we built this house in 90. I never had been around where they built a wall and stood it up, you know, and I never had, but I got a good lesson. I wish I'd learned that when I was a kid, and you had an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I did, and I had geometry, too, and my dad, unfortunately, he was born in 1911, and did not, well, 1912, so he got caught by the Depression big time and did not get but 3 years of education.
Mm-hmm.
He did not know geometry at all, and he was amazed until he died, I suppose, that I could sit down and figure up a rafter and tell you how long it had to be and what the cut had to be on it, and it'd fit. And he'd go out there and measure it off, and it would work. And he just, you know, to him, that was special to be able to do that, even though that's not, you know, that's just routine for someone who's had that kind of math.
Cliff, I'm fixing to put up some rafters on my garage. Maybe you could help me.
Okay.
Yeah. Don is in the process of building not as elaborate a deal as you are, but he's, what is your, 25 by 20?
25 by 20, and it's got, about a 5/12 pitch roof, 8 above, is 8 feet. My ridge pole up there, my ridge row is going to be about 14 feet off the ground. So.
Well, 5'12" pitch is real easy to figure.
Yeah.
13 inches for every 12 horizontal.
Right.
Just add an inch for per foot.
But yeah, I've got that, but the angle at the top, I've looked up, I think I found a calculator on the internet, and it said my angle needed to be about 22.6 degrees on that top angle.
You could do better with a square, taking a square and just measuring it and letting that square do it for you. You'll do better that way than you will trying to do it with a
right
gauge.
Of course, once you figure it, that'll all be the same, right? I mean,
yes,
once you figure out what it is.
What the first thing
the square, is. The squares, by the way, these construction squares, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, framing
yeah,
square.
I know what you're talking about.
Unfortunately, I don't know how to read one. I mean, I don't know how to do the angles.
Right. Well, they've got that right there on them. If you have somebody that decided it could help you a little bit.
Well, he seems well enough to do that. You mean when you lay it on, you put one side on the along the edge of the rafter, so you know what, and that's straight, and then the other one hangs down, and it'll tell you right there what the angle you got?
Yeah, well, you can pull that thing up like you got 5'12". You start at the corner and you go 5 inches one way and 12 the other.
Yeah,
and let those just touch the top edge of the board,
yep.
And that right there will resemble exactly what you're going to need.
What my angle's going to be, and then the angle on the other end, if you're coming off square, it's going to be the same angle, right?
Basically,
except reversed
or 90 degrees to it.
Right. Okay.
Down at the bottom where you're cutting that little. Depending on whether or not you're going to have that little flat area down at the bottom of the rafter or not on
right.
The outside.
So you're not going to do you're not going to do a little.
I'm doing an overhang.
That's what I mean.
Not a little overhang.
So I don't need the overhang, and then I have to cut back 90 degrees to shave that little tail off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That rafter tail.
Okay. Well, I need to buy a new framing square because mine's old and rusty, and I can't read it. So.
Yeah, that could be a.
Everybody needs a framing square.
No problem.
So, but are you, I think you said that, just get to digress for just a minute, that you are the judge in the little town that you live in?
Yes, in Tellico Plains, Tennessee, which is, you know, we're 800 people on the weekends when everybody comes home from Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And I love it. Small town. No, don't even have a street light in the town.
Uh-huh.
No parking meters.
Tellico Plains, and you're the city judge. I mean, you handle the traffic violations and
right. Once a month, I only hold court.
Once a month.
Yes, on the second Thursday evening.
Now,
that's something.
If there is a, if,
that's really something.
If there happened to be a domestic dispute of some sort, or is there a policeman there? Or?
Oh yeah, we've got a healthy police force. We've got five or six policemen on duty. It's a tourist town. We have a lot of folks coming through. I mean, we have motorcycles by the gazillions. And
really.
We're right on the edge of the Cherokee National Forest, and they just completed a new skyway across into North Carolina, which connects to the busiest motorcycle road in the world.
Hmm.
There's one section of Highway 129, and it is literally they drive all over the country to come down here and drive that road because it has so many curves on it.
Yeah,
it's a really scenic, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful drive. So it's advertised as, and I think it is, the busiest motorcycle road in the world.
Oh, yeah.
We get a lot of that traffic back, looping back across the mountain through our little town.
And whatever happens in town, if they arrest somebody for doing something, or if they, whatever happens in town that's police business, it comes in, it ends up in your court every once a week or month.
I'm sorry, I've gotten clogged up a little bit.
That's all
right. Only the... less serious matters. I'm a municipal judge, and in Tennessee, municipal judges are limited in their jurisdiction.
Uh-huh.
I can't put anybody in jail, for instance. All I can do is levy fines for violations of city ordinances. So
okay.
Somebody comes along and shoots somebody, or if it's a serious criminal act, they're taken into state court, not into municipal court.
Okay, and that's done in some other city. That's
right.
You don't have that in your town. Now, how is this an appointed thing? Or
yes, it's the city council and the mayor appoint the city judges. You have to be an attorney now in this state to be eligible. In the past, you didn't have to be.
But, yeah, you don't in Texas.
Well, I said, no, wait a minute, there's still some exceptions in Tennessee, come to think about it. But most, by far, the majority of them now are attorneys.
Yeah. But you never have any cases argued before. You have a guy that comes in and he's done a little something and you talk with him and fine him. I mean, that's basically
that's
what you do.
Well, they plead guilty or they plead not guilty. And if they plead not guilty, we have a trial to decide what the, you know, I have to make a decision then.
Yeah.
After that, if I find them not guilty, I'll let them go. And
what sort of a trial? Might one of them have a lawyer with him? He might have counsel?
They have the right to. I think I've had one lawyer show up all the...
And do you have a prosecutor there in your town who would tell you about the...
Just the officers.
The officer would tell you about the facts and you would... anybody, surely... I mean, how long have you been doing this? How long has this been going on? This blind justice. You knew I was going to say that.
Yeah.
You knew.
You use that term. I think it's quite funny. I had one fellow one time come in and tell me that I was discriminating against him because of the color of his skin. And I said, fellow, I'm sorry, but you tried that one on the wrong person. I don't have a clue what color you are. And he didn't know I couldn't see until that point.
Yeah.
What's wild is I guessed after the fact and got it wrong. So
what a deal.
And so these people are there. Have you ever had anybody in the middle of while they were talking to you go, you can't see, can you?
No.
That's never happened.
No. I get treated with respect. The biggest problem I've had with some of the officers, they get mad when I don't hold their way sometimes. And
yeah, I guess they would.
Their rears a few times. And but that's been the most disrespect I've had.
Yeah, that's funny. That's very good. I'm sure there have been some write-ups on you. I want to talk with you some more about that. My wife is an attorney. I don't know if you knew that or not. But
I'm sorry for you then.
Well, actually, the more money she makes, the more I love her.
Well, my wife and you probably need to compare notes because she worked for me for several years before she fired herself and went off to work for someone else.
Your wife worked for you?
Yes.
Well, my wife lets me stay home and as long as I keep the kitchen cleaned up, everything's fine. Tom, how are we doing on time?
We need to take a break.
Need to take a break. Clifford, you obviously have had a pretty interesting life and adjusted to this blind stuff real well. And I'm glad to make your acquaintance. I want to, since you're a conservative Republican and I'm a liberal Democrat, I want to arrange a no-holds-barred debate one of these evenings where we can have a conference called and have people ask us a few questions and explain our positions, and all in fun.
I've done that before and did it on the Internet.
I understood that you did this year. That
before the people side. I got to play Bush and this other fellow that got to play Kerry, and it's real neat to be able to put words in President's mouth. That was neat.
I missed that, but we may reenact one of those someday, sir.
Well, it's fun, and you know, we find out pretty quickly. And this fellow, we've debated quite a few times on that for the people side, and we end up agreeing too often.
Is that right?
Not that good of a debate when we end up saying, yeah, we both agree on that subject.
Clifford Wilson, sir.
You know, Clifford, I have one comment here. You're talking about for the people before we get out of here. You know, we have an unused blind handyman chat room on for the people. At some point, a group of us folks need to get together and to give that chat room a little use, don't we?
Yes, sir. I've been having difficulties getting in because of pop-ups. My computer just eat up with those things. I enjoy the For the People side.
This is Jennifer Thomas.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. That's her side.
She was supposed to be running us. I wonder if she is.
Don't know.
I'm not sure.
She was supposed to be. We'll check with her.
I know we have the chat room still there because I was in there the other night for an hour or so just hanging out.
Just hanging out.
Well, you can tell
our lives are exciting, can't you? Clifford Wilson, sir, thank you much, and we'll visit with you.
Thank you, folks. Enjoyed it.
This will be on this weekend. Back in just a minute, more of our show called Blind Handyman. Hang on.
Bringing warmth to the world. You are the dawn of my day. Yes, you are. You are the lantern that lights my way.
My name's Donna, and for the past 5 years, I've lived up here in the cold country, Rochester, Minnesota. I'd love to move.
Love
to a
is
place,
blind.
But, you know,
the audio magazine
you know
for seniors.
Anyway, I'm around 32 years old, give or take a couple of years, and never been married. Oh, come close once or twice, but things just didn't work out.
If you'd like more information about this exciting new magazine, phone toll-free 1-877-222-0679. That's 1-877-222-0679. Or you can receive the same information as an email. Our address is loveisblind, all one word, at blindlikeme.com. That's loveisblind at blindlikeme.com.
The Blind Handyman. Blind Handyman, all lowercase, one word, at hotmail.com. That's Blind Handyman at hotmail.com.
Contact information.
Blind Like Me. Blind Like Me, lowercase, all one word, at txucom.net. That's Blind Like Me at txucom.net.
Contact information.
Blind Handyman listserv. Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. That's Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Contact information.
Blind Handyman at hotmail.com. Blind Like Me at txucom.net. Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Email us often and give us your opinion. If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your
contact information.
To the Blind Handyman. If you have an idea for a topic or project you would like us to discuss, let us know at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, back to the show with Don Patterson.
I don't know why you're coming back to me for. I haven't contributed anything in 4 or 5 months.
I didn't want to bring it up, but Clifford, there's Clifford. I loved him.
He's
his life together, building this big, gigantic room.
Yeah,
whatever the hell they're going to do with it, you know.
Wish he was here. He could show me how to read this Freeman square I'm going to go by. Now, my old one was rusty, and I knew there were numbers on it, and I thought you were supposed to use them for something.
I've got one. If you need it. You need one, I got
but,
one.
But actually, I think, that, believe it or not, a la the Internet, I have the angle exactly figured out because I entered all the data, the length of the plane, length of the rafter.
And they told you.
And it just told me.
How, that's neat.
How
that's
the angle.
The Internet's and, just awesome.
Yeah. I typed in, this sounds strange, I said, if you type in calculator, of course, you get just buku. I typed in joist and rafters to start with. And then in one down little place, I saw where it talked about a rafter calculator, but I went to that site and it didn't make sense. So I went back to my search and I said rafter calculator. And I got some really hard ones, and then I got one really easy one, and it told you what information, and then it explained what everything they were asking was.
Yeah.
Like the plane distance between.
What is the plane distance?
That is where from the top of the ridge row, and I think it may even includes the width of the ridge row.
Or half of the width of the ridge row.
And goes down to the end where you're going to put the rafter. I mean, where the end of it is going to be.
Where the end of it's going to lay on the wall.
And so, but actually if it's, and then you measure your joist, or they want to know the length of the joist. See, actually, they're doing the angle for that would be the hypotenuse of the triangle. Your joist would become the horizontal, would be one leg of the triangle.
Okay.
And then, that's a 90 degree
there. And the rafter would be one.
Yeah, that's a 90 degree under your ridge pole. There's at that angle.
Well, and the height of the ridge pole above the ceiling joist would be the other.
Right. And so then coming down. And so anyway, it just told me what I needed.
I hadn't thought about that. I hadn't thought about the Pythagorean theorem reversed or whatever.
Or something or other.
Well, that's pretty cool. I would have just cut one that I knew was too big and kept cutting it until I got it right.
Well, I mean, then that's another way. The problem I have is, I'm going to the length of my timber, my stock, is 16 feet long.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to span, and actually I'm going to wind up pretty close to 15 feet, 14-something, so I didn't have a lot of room to test. And then sometimes it's just kind of hard. It's kind of hard to, if you start testing, if you went the wrong way, then you keep cutting and cutting. Or if you had to cut it too small in the inning, in the beginning, then you couldn't add to it. So you'd have to start.
I don't. Angles are just.
And so, in that whole triangle, you have 180 degrees. And if you know one of them's 90, what you're basically dealing with is what are the other two? And
one of them's 90.
Yeah,
there's no question.
Right, and you know one's 90, and then like the man said, like what was that, Wilson? What was this for Cliff?
Clifford
said,
Wilson.
You know, the angle on the other end where it's coming down, where I'm squaring it up with my joist, it's going to be the same angle
in reverse.
Well, actually, it's going to be in the same. They're going to both lean the same direction. And so then you have the little tail that you'll have to shave off.
Okay, they will. Yeah, they will. Okay, I got you.
Like the long parallelogram.
I got you. It would be. It's exactly what it'd be. It's a really long parallelogram.
A really long parallelogram.
That's a good thought.
And then the tail, then I will have to shave it off because the bottom part is not going to be as wide.
And then what do you call that deal that sticks out where you put the soffit in the fascia board?
Well, that's just your overhang.
It's called an overhang. Robert called it something, a lookout or something. He had a name for it.
Well, he probably knew, and I don't. Yeah,
well,
then your soffit, and then you put your little vent.
Sure wish you'd have poured that slab at my house higher. This building didn't get any water. But anyway, we want to talk about fireplaces for a few minutes. We've all three of us have got one, and Tom's had one. So building a fire, let me just go through, and I'm going to build a fire probably tonight. So we're going to cook a little tonight, she's going to the grocery store, and it's time to get started for Thanksgiving. What I'll do is I'll probably find some newspaper, and I'll get this stuff that we have in East Texas called rich pine.
Uh-huh.
And you can't get rich pine everywhere. I don't know. I guess we have a lot of pine trees, so we have rich pine. And if you lived in a place where they had cedar trees, you wouldn't have that, would you?
No.
Would you have
you
rich
wouldn't.
Cedar?
Yeah.
Cedar's got rosin in it like pine.
But I bet cedar will burn.
I don't think there's any place in the United States that don't have a pine tree.
Doesn't have a pine tree?
Form or something.
So this old rich pine, I don't know how it works, but it has a lot of pine resin in it. And if you get a little small stick of that that's real thin, I'm talking about like a popsicle stick size, and if it's rich enough, you can light it. I mean, you could take a match and remember Shaw when I showed you that first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you can just light this damn wood. It'll just light. So you take a small piece of that, the smallest you can get it, and you light that, and then you put it next to a little bigger piece, and next to a little bigger piece, and pretty soon you got that rich pine. Because a good sized piece of rich pine will burn long enough to get whatever you want going. But I'm not against using newspaper to start fires with in a chimney.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Newspaper makes a good hot fire.
You're not using wood logs anymore, Shaw, but you have.
And you have, too.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How would you build a fire?
Well, my first thing that I would start out with the guy, the person, because they seemed like they had never, they said in their email that they were not.
Yeah.
I would learn the major components of that fireplace. And one is where you put the logs, the cradle. But the main thing is that damper.
Yeah.
Learn how to, and you do not want to build a fire with the old damper closed. And the reason why I say this is because all of us have done that.
Well, I haven't.
Well, I mean, I...
But the man has.
And
it was my fault because it was closed.
Well,
you understand?
Absolutely, yeah. So learn where the damper is and about that damper, but you just need it open, you can kind of control that, but mostly just kind of at a, 40, 30-degree angle, something, just let the smoke out.
Open it all the way. Open it.
That's what I do. Start the fire, and then once it's going good, then I close it down.
So that's
If there was a way to do that, I would, but mine, you have to reach up. It's above the fire.
Right.
And so mine is either open or closed.
Well, you'd need to do it before, because mine would get really hot, and it just had several notches, that you could put it in. But anyway, learn that, and then learn about, your cradle where your wood stays. Then it's going to have an underneath if you keep the coals all cleaned out of it, the ashes. And so that's kind of where I'd start my fires. Always kind of, and newspaper, believe it or not, burns a lot better wadded up just kind of roll it up in a ball, not in a row, but just kind of squash it in your hands and put three or four.
In other words, take a sheet and tear it into pieces and then make you a ball, a newspaper,
or just take a two-sided newspaper. You know, when you take one page out of a newspaper, it's got a crease down the middle.
Yeah.
Tear that in half and make two balls of it. Just wad it up like a ball.
Or make a newspaper bed to lay your logs on.
And then just put your little kindling, you know, twigs, anything. I've just gone out in the yard and gathered or whatever.
That'll work.
And get your a lot of people buy fireplace lighters. They're bigger, like a cigarette lighter, a little propane job. It's got a long snout on the end of it, and you can really kind of tend to business. And
they're fine, but if you're blind, I can't tell what I'm doing. I get up close and personal with the fire, and you get your hands in it, you may get a little bit singed. But if you're careful, you're not going to get bit.
Okay.
I mean, I get up close to them. Those long snout lighters are nice, but you can't tell what you're doing. Or I can't. If you're, that's for sighted people, isn't it? What do you use, Sean? Do you use a long?
Yeah, but you can kind of feel the end.
The blind man would know exactly where that fire was.
I guess he would, wouldn't he? All right.
If you put the end of it in there, you can kind of feel when it's touching the paper or whatever. And then I strike it after I put the nozzle in the.
Then you strike the lighter.
And then strike the lighter, and this.
And you'll hear that newspaper go.
You'll hear. It takes off, man.
It'll take off, and then you and sometimes you have to lean down and blow on that fire a little bit and nurse it along. But eventually you'll hear it start to catch, and you'll play with it a little bit. You're not going to get hurt. If the damper's open and you're careful, you won't get hurt with the fireplace.
Don't use any fuel.
No.